Hello, 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 pinch hitting Manny Mota. What was that movie? Airplane. Man, one of the greatest movies ever made. I've got to concentrate. Pinch hitting Manny Mota. I once saw Ted Stryker. What was his name? I can't remember the actor's name, but I saw Ted Stryker at an airport once. We used to go skiing in Aspen, or one of those towns around Aspen. So I saw Ted Stryker at an airport in Denver. I was, 14 or 15. And I saw him. He was like looking at a magazine and he saw me back. And I'm like, and he knew it was coming. I'm like, Stryker. Anyways, his girlfriend saw that and like pulled him away. And like they immediately had to like run and hide because there's too much fame. Anyways, yeah, hi, wow, hello, wow. So, hi everybody. Hope everybody's safe and sound and quiet and enjoying themselves. It seems like everything's picking up now. It seems like there's a lot of activity going on. It seems like I see traffic picking up in the street. I was driving to pick up Emma from daycare and I noticed there's a lot of traffic now. Which is good, I guess, as more people are driving, which is a healthy thing where people are out and about. I'm hoping everybody's staying safe and socially distant, but at the same time, you know, contributing to the economy, because that's a good thing. So it was we had a little bit of a mishmash today. Today on the podcast we have one of my one of the guys. He was on a show, maybe episode 8 or 9. Doobie Bob, who's one of my college friends, he's back on the show. Margaret, of course, the hostess with the mostest, and we're basically just kind of picking up. They had a, you know, reminisce, or I mean, not reminisce, but they had a kind of, you know, introductions and whatnot. We did run into some technical snafus. I don't know. I got to figure out a better, I don't know. We had some audio clipping on the phone, the call-in. I'm not a big fan. I'm not going to lie. I'm not a big fan of the call-in. I wish I could have people live. It makes it a lot easier to control the audio and whatnot. Anyways, no, we had everybody. It was a good show. It was long. This is a long episode. Talking about a lot of stuff. We brought up some Fyre Festival Netflix stuff. Talked about some Hitler and some, you know, topical things. Argentina. It was a good show. All in all things being, it was a good show. It's like I said, it's an interesting time we're living in now, but you know, we're all gonna make it through. Don't get too deep into a whole lot. We kind of stay on the surface because you know, Margaret and Bob have never met before, so. Anyways, it's a good show. I think it's an interesting time. We talk about Tiger King. God, what a fucking train wreck that show is. I was fascinated with that show. I loved every second of it. I could not get enough of how dysfunctional everybody was on that show. So anyways, enough of me yapping, just taking up fucking air. You know, wasting your time. But anyways, let's cue the clappy music and let's get on with the show, shall we? Enjoy. So, all right, can everybody see everybody? Is this working? Is this good?
Yeah, should we test this first before you hit record?
Nah, too late. Well, no, because I fucked up 2 weeks ago, and I recorded like an hour and a half of Omar blabbering and pontificating all deep and shit, and I forgot to hit record, and that was bad. So, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. So, Margaret, what are you drinking?
Just some vodka and Sprite and a little dash of pineapple juice.
So, all right. So, Bob, this is Margaret. Margaret, this is Bob. So, you guys haven't.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Margaret. Nice to meet you.
You guys haven't
nice
met.
To meet you.
It's weird. It's real weird. So, I met Bob in college. We did, I forgot what episode together already, but we did one of the later episodes of this podcast. But I met Bob in college and sort of like, I don't know, it's been 20 years of just crazy. Has it been 20 years? Yeah. A little bit more than 20 years.
20 plus.
Yeah, 20 plus years.
Yikes.
But the thing is, like, it was never like, so Margaret and I worked together, and the difference is, like, Margaret and I were like casual drinkers together. Like, we would do happy hours and maybe a birthday party or something like that. It was never anything too serious. But like with Bob after college, it wasn't like, oh, we're just going to get together for happy hour. It was like, oh, I'm flying into town, or I'm driving into town for St. Patrick's Day, or we're flying to Las Vegas for a bachelor party. So hanging out with Bob, it was always like 130%. Whereas like hanging out with Margaret, it's like, all right, you know, it's like after work, kind of just, you know, get by. That's kind of the dynamic here.
So you had fun with me, huh? And you didn't with him.
So what?
You had fun with me.
Yeah, it's just different. It's just a little bit different. That's all. Like Margaret's like day drinking, and then Bob's like I don't know, like all night benders. I don't know. And no, that's not fair.
After hours party.
Yeah, that's not exactly fair. I don't know. But it is an interesting like when you start segregating, like, oh, I met this person here, or this is a coworker friend, and just the different dynamics that we've had. But it's funny because like it's kind of like the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. It's like we all know Ramon, like, loosely, and like we don't want to, but like we all kind of know Ramon.
Ramon who?
I was just gonna say, who's Ramon?
Yeah, all right. So anyways, so Margaret, Bob, in case you haven't noticed, Margaret is, or if you haven't been listening to the podcast, but Margaret is single and on the prowl. And last couple, there's the eye roll. And the last couple of episodes, we were talking about the difficulties of dating with a real virus out there that can kill you.
Well, first of all, I was wondering why she had the time to record like 3 or 4 podcasts with you already. So that answers that question. By the way, am I still your number one rated podcast episode?
No, unfortunately. Unfortunately, Margaret.
Hi, my name is Marge. Sorry, I took over.
Yeah,
she took that spot.
She took that.
Margie's got it now, huh?
Yeah. So again, like a lot of revelations are coming out. I didn't know Margaret used to be a hairdresser, and that like changes the game completely. Like that, her social status is way above mine. So when her podcast hit the streets, it exploded. It blew up. It blew out way past 100,000.
That's usually what happens when I hit the streets.
100,000. I was gonna say, should I be saying hi to the, like the 10 people that are listening now instead of the 3 that were listening before?
It's about 100. I don't know. It's a lot. Margaret added some folks from the UK and the Philippines. I'm not sure what the Philippines drew from or what they got, but the Philippines apparently love Margaret. Maybe it's the height. I don't know. I'm short too, though. I don't know if that's it.
I don't know, Lenny.
Anyways.
Right, well, you've got international now, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're welcome.
So Bob, so what's new with you in your world right now, man? How's everything going? You guys managing okay with the staying safe and socially distant?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, we've been actually following that pretty closely. First of all, my significant other works from home already, so there's no reason for her to really leave the house too much to begin with. And then I had been working from home up until recently, and now I'm looking to go on the government dole and get me a nice slice of that cheese. You know what I'm saying?
Margaret's in the same role. They announced in my company they're going to do a lot of cuts as well. So I don't know if I'll be. I don't know. Who the hell knows? Like, it's such a volatile market. Who the hell knows? So, but we don't.
Well, you always have a podcast to fall back on.
Yeah, this really pays all the bills. I'm not gonna lie. Well, it's really good. It's really
and
good.
And since we're on that topic, how much is my appearance fee again for this?
Yeah,
as soon it's as, worth a mug. A coffee mug.
I want at least 50% of what you're paying Margie to be on.
Yeah, yeah. You both get a mug. You get. That's exactly what you're getting as a mug out of this. I don't know.
Not last time.
I don't know what it takes. I don't know what it takes to get sponsorship. I've reached out to Ashley Madison and some of the other some of the other dating apps, and it's funny they seem to be doing just fine. Yeah, they seem to be doing just fine without my help. They don't. They're like, Mr. Sanchez, you don't understand. We take your money. We don't give you money. So. Anyway,
can you recite their theme song?
Yeah, we talked about that last time. You know what's funny? I was telling Margaret one of the last podcasts. Like, I tried, like, before I met, you know, I met Amy on Match.com. I tried some of the free apps. This was way before Tinder and Grindr and all those other ones. But I tried like Yahoo Dating, which, like, I was telling Margaret at the time, like, Yahoo had two things going for it. It was like fantasy football and their dating app, or their dating website. And I didn't realize that was purely just for hookups. That wasn't for, like, you know, oh, we're going to match you with this person who both, like, you both like Martin Scorsese.
Hooking up.
Yeah. It's like, no. You
both like one night stands.
Yeah, you both like the hookup and that's it. But
so what you're saying is you fail.
Yeah, I fail.
You failed at using it.
Yeah, I did. It was bad. It was pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. It was pretty bad. But you know what? Who cares? Like, that's, but Bob's significant other has been your significant other since like 1998.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's been a hot minute, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy how that's going to outlast most of our relationships.
That alone makes me pretty uncool. So I'm not even sure why I'm on this discussion today, because it seems like when Margie comes on, you guys talk about dating and stuff, right?
Did we talk about dating? Yeah, some stuff.
That's how all the time. It's advertised.
Yeah, kind of.
Are you advertising me?
I did, Bob. I did forward her the text I sent. I forwarded her your message, Bob, and she thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah, oh, that's funny.
Well, I sent Bob a picture of Margaret.
Okay.
The cougar. Well, no, what is it? The catfish. Margaret's catfish picture. Her. The one. The one from 8 years ago that she uses on her current dating sites.
And whatever.
I said, this is what Margaret looks like. Oh, it's on the Lifesplaining website, by the way. So he's like, yeah, this is who Margaret is. And Bob just kind of goes, she looks expensive.
I like fancy wings. That's all I got to say.
You know, and that's a compliment, because, you know, I've said before, and Lenny, you can verify this. I like to compliment a lady whenever I can. Like, if I see a nice looking girl, I like to say, you know, if you were a prostitute, you'd be an expensive one.
Yeah. Well, Margaret, I mean, if that's the way a guy's going to come up and like be honest and like all upfront about it, it's like, listen, you know, if all things being equal, if you were a hooker, you'd be expensive. How would that make you feel? Would you be flattered?
Yeah, pretty cool.
We talked about it, Bob. One of the first ones, we're like, Margaret, what would it take? Because, you know, like everybody's got the crazy side. I was like, Margaret, what would it take if you were dating a guy for you to, like, for him to come home and find all his shit on your yard and, like, you know, you've got his car on fire? Like, what would that take? And she's like, I don't know, like a second family. So I'm like, wow, that's a far stretch. I like, that's a man, you got some room there. You got some wiggle room.
A little fluff, you know.
A little bit of fluff. So Margie, do you like to go to sporting events? Is that like anything you like to do, or is that just more for like the free drinks and the in the box seats or whatever?
True, definitely. But I do like watching basketball. I'll go to the, you know, Spurs whenever they were playing. I do like watching basketball. I don't like going to football games because I just simply don't understand the game of football. I think you lost some listeners.
No. I don't think so at all. So what is it about football that you don't like? Or that you don't get? Is it just all the different rules?
Yeah, all the different rules. I don't understand that.
But you understand basketball? I don't understand. I think football is easier to understand than basketball is. So you grew up in San Antonio. You've never really, like, other than, like, after you got, but you kind of grew up in San Antonio. So you grew up with the Spurs, right?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is a lot of people in Bob, what is your opinion of the Spurs? Be honest.
They're a very well-run organization.
Yeah,
they have been for a long time.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm from Houston, so I can't say I love the Spurs, but I do respect the way that they run their basketball program.
Yeah, so Popovich is a pretty good coach, I would say. And the whole thing, the whole staff, right, from top down kind of thing there, or maybe from bottom up is the right way to say it. It's a pretty good organization. It's funny, a lot of people from Houston are not allowed to like the Spurs, which is weird because it's like most people I know from Houston, from San Antonio, liked the Oilers better than they liked the Cowboys. A lot back in the day. Margaret, were you a Cowboys fan or are you an Oilers fan?
I'd be an Oilers Texans fan, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird like how San Antonio has a stronger loyalty to Houston than Dallas. But man, like it seems like if the Rockets were playing, it's like if the Rockets fans were like asking you the Spurs or Mavs, they'd all be like, well, fuck the Spurs.
Well, and I also respect the San Antonio fans and their loyalty to their team. Obviously, it's your only pro sports team, but San Antonio's diehard Spurs.
Yeah, well, for sure.
It's the only thing they have, though. And I don't think they'll ever get like a pro football team. That'll never happen. I just don't see that. I don't see that ever like expanding to San Antonio. It's just not a big enough market. But
yeah.
Not with Dallas, Houston right there, and then UT in Austin. There's the football market's already cornered, I think.
Yeah, and same thing with like soccer. I don't think soccer's a big enough draw. I will say after moving to Houston, I've gone a couple of the Dynamo games, and I do like that quite a bit. I know San Antonio got like a little minor league soccer team, but I don't know. I mean, so what's funny like with this COVID thing, what I realized is like I never really did like big crowds that much. Like that wasn't really like I really didn't like. Like when they closed the rodeo, I was like, oh, you know, the rodeo's like, man, it's a big, big, big thing. But like, I hate crowds. I never really liked it. One of the first, Bob, what was that concert we went to in Dallas at the Motor Speedway in like 96 or 97?
Where Pink was
Pink was playing.
That was when I wasn't there, but.
Damn, I was still in middle school.
Yeah, Margaret. Yeah, yeah. Well, come on, Margaret.
That was, wasn't that like Bush?
Was it
Bush?
Bush
and bunch of other bands from the 90s, but I didn't make it to that gig. I think I was in summer school in Houston.
That was maybe. That was. I remember Pink was playing, and I remember that was the first time I saw Pink, and I liked her quite a bit. I thought it was pretty crazy that I liked her band. But that was like a concert at a 2 mile racetrack, right? Isn't that how big that stadium is? Or that thing?
Yeah.
It was massive. And I remember it took like 3 hours. Waiting in the car to get out of that traffic. Like it was a fucking nightmare.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, so like I never really liked the crowd thing. So like with the COVID thing, I was like, well, you know, I'm like, all right, well, you can't go to rodeo. Like, well, I don't know. I didn't really like going to rodeo that much anyways. Like I went once with Amy and I played a gig there another time.
To the Houston rodeo?
Yeah, and it's huge too. It is huge.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's enormous.
Yeah. Bob, did you ever go to the rodeo?
Yeah, many times. Yeah. Many times.
Did you like it?
My favorite aspect of the Houston rodeo is the barbecue cook-off, which is the weekend that opens the rodeo.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
So I got a call during the barbecue cook-off. I was just wrapping up dinner, you know, because I'm a family man. You know, I cook dinner and I'm very domesticated, so I wash dishes and all that kind of shit, you know, all fun stuff. And then we were getting ready to put my daughter to bed. And I get a call from a friend of mine, and he's like, hey, are you gigging tonight? I'm like, nah, it was like a Friday night. I'm like, nah, I'm just, you know, about to put my daughter to bed, right? It's like 9 o'clock. He's like, you want to come fill in at the rodeo? I'm like, yeah, what day? He's like, right now. He's like, our bass player's wife just had to go to the hospital, and we need to fill in. And I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, can you get here as soon as possible? And I'm like, from fucking Katy to the rodeo. And so, like, I'm like, all right. So I got dressed, I grabbed a bass, and then I hauled ass. I mean, I hauled ass. And it's like, on a good day, it's like a 30-minute drive to that stadium from Katy. So I get there relatively quick. And of course, like, it's fucking barbecue cook-off night. So it's like, forget about parking, forget about anywhere near. And I didn't bring cash. I had nothing. I brought my bass with me. Like that's it. My gig clothes. Like I had nothing. And so I try to find I didn't even think about parking or anything like that. And all the parking lots that were close by were like $30 or $40 a park. And so Oh yeah, yeah. It's not cheap if you want to go to the rodeo. And then like forget about Uber. Like the Uber lines, that's not even organized. It's a mess. It's an absolute mess. So I got there and I finagled. I talked to one guy that was running a parking lot out of a hotel. And I was like, look, dude, I'm backfilling for some guy whose wife just got, you know, sick and he had to go to the hospital. And he's like, all right, man, come on in. So I finagled that. And then I got on a rickshaw or one of those bicycle taxi things. I don't know what the politically correct name is for that, but like I got one of the bicycle taxi things and he hauled ass, got me inside. And then I got in, I found it. Anyways, I played this gig. It was crazy. Last minute thing. I made about an hour's worth of music. And
do you remember which tent you were playing? Like what the sponsor was?
It was, it was Misbehaving.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, by the way, what was really weird is I got on stage, I plugged in, I was about to start playing and I see this drunk ass guy kind of doing some like cool, like white guy dancing. And I looked at him like, oh my God, that's a coworker. And I was like, Doug. Like I recognized a coworker there and he looked at me like he found out he just got adopted or like he just found out he was adopted. Like he was just like confused, didn't understand what was going on. He's like, wait, why are you on stage? What's happening? And he was helping out with that band, with that owner. But yeah, it's so Margaret, have you ever been to the cook-off, the barbecue cook-off?
Not in Houston. Here I have. In San Antonio I have.
So I don't know. How many tents would you say there are, Bob?
How many tents?
Yeah, or how many barbecues? How many of those facilities do you think there are?
200? Yeah, probably 200 or so.
I would say
just to the cook-off?
Yeah, for the cook-off. Those are tents.
Oh wow.
Yeah, they have to name all the streets. Like they have to build out the tents and they have to name the streets and then they have to like put signs. It's fucking confusing as shit. And like it is crazy how crowded it gets. It's mm-hmm. not even funny. Nothing like the San Antonio cook-off, but it's just all these people. It smells like vomit, beer, semen. You know, it's just disgusting.
I want to go
and barbecue too.
It's like what, Bob?
And barbecue also. Yeah, all those things.
All those things with a nice hint of hickory and mesquite.
I'm down.
it's the smell of fun. No,
it's not. It really, and like what's funny is like remember the cook-offs in Lubbock? Remember Chili Cook-off in Lubbock? Like those outdoor festivals. Like it's like you come from like you're out in the country, you basically park in the back, you park your pickup truck and you pop the bed down and people are just sleeping on your bed of the pickup truck and you're cooking there. Like it's a completely different thing. And people bring in their, you know, $1 million RVs and I don't know. It's a crazy extravaganza, but like to me, it's just not a lot of fun. It's just too much to like. I don't know. Too much to wrap my head around, and I would not want to be drunk there either. Like that's the thing. Like you go there and people get drunk, and I'm like, God damn, that sounds like a pain in the ass.
But the best day to go is it runs Thursday through Saturday night, so three nights. The best day to go is Thursday because it hasn't really kicked off in full force yet, and so there's actually room to walk around, to breathe, to get a drink fairly quickly.
Ah, I see.
That's how the season pro does it. You go Thursday.
Oh, see, I fucked up. Well,
Saturday night's amateur night.
Yeah, you see a lot of cops. You see a lot of like, it's pretty rowdy. I would say it's pretty rowdy. I don't know, Bob. Did you ever go? So Bob went to high school in Houston. So did you ever go when you were in high school, Bob?
Actually, no, I didn't. I didn't start going until I moved back to Houston after college.
So I was playing golf with a friend of mine who grew up in this small suburb that I live in now, and we were talking about like the kind of shit, you know, the kind of trouble that we would get into, you know, in high school and whatnot. And she was like telling me like, oh yeah, like that, you know, like. There's this tree over there and it's real dark and that's where she'd go make out with her boyfriend and whatnot. And they'd have house parties and things like that. And then she's like, well, what would you do, Lenny? I'm like, well, we'd go to Mexico. So it was like a little bit different, like the different, you know, like how you'd get in a, how you, you know, what you would do to cut loose when you were in high school. What would you do here, Bob, when you were in high school? What was your go-to to, like, we just hang out at friends' houses? You guys go out, you get fake IDs?
You know, well, I mean, that kind of depends on your age, right? Until you're, you know, about 16 or 17 and you're driving, then you're pretty much limited to hanging out at friends' houses. At least I was.
Oh, yeah, I was too.
And then, yeah, you finally get the keys to the car, and then you're branching out a bit more.
Margaret, right? What is that?
Can't go to a bar or anything like that.
What was that face, Margaret? What were you doing when you were a teenager?
Getting MIPs.
It's like rookies. Yeah, Margaret.
I'm like, that's cute. That's cute.
Well, by all means, tell your side of the story, because mine's not nearly interesting.
Yeah, Margaret.
No, it is. I like to see, you know, how people grew up, and it's different.
It's different. We touched a little bit about your MIP and stuff like that. I kind of think you could have gotten out of the situation, the example you gave. But Margaret, tell us about what you, kind of trouble you got into as a kid.
Well, during my high school years, my parents were very welcoming to other kids, and I like to call our house, everybody knew Globe Street. We're going to Globe Street. Like that was our house, and everybody would always come over. My parents were always welcoming. I can't recall them ever serving us alcohol, although we'd always find a way to get it and take it back home. And we'd always be playing like board games and card games.
But would you be drinking in front of your parents, or did like they just didn't see it and you were just good at hiding it?
Yeah, they just never really saw it.
Or maybe they chose.
Yeah, they just never really saw it.
Maybe they chose. You think they chose not to see it?
Yeah, they just this, you know, yeah. And you know, there was smoking going on, and it wasn't just, you know, cigarettes. It was that devil's lettuce.
That's crazy. And so your parents had to know. It's not like you can smoke weed and like not know what's going on. Like, is someone burning incense? Like, it's not like you can't know what's going down.
Oh, no, for sure. They knew what was going on. They've done it themselves many times.
So maybe their thought process was like, I'm glad you're doing it here at home.
Exactly.
Home versus yep, like at somebody exactly. else's house. Yeah, that's a good idea. I guess that's good.
And that's what I'd always tell my daughter too, is like, you know, if you're going to go do something, you're going to do it here. You're going to drink here. You're going to smoke here. Whatever you want to try, you're going to do it here with me.
But leave some for me. Let me taste it first to make sure it's not stepped on.
I need to make sure it's pure.
What kind of friends do you have bringing this? Whatever. I don't even what you call skunk weed.
I'm like this. Yeah. Is this?
What is that? How much baking soda is in this?
How much did you pay for this?
So here's what's funny. Like, so I'm guessing if like your daughter came home, like, and she was smoking weed, you'd probably be a lot more okay with that than if you found like needle tracks or like cocaine on her.
Oh, hell yeah. But, definitely. Yeah.
But what's funny is like in the 80s, like everybody did coke. Like cocaine was like coffee after dinner. Like that's just what everybody did. Like it wasn't, I mean, it's a white person drug. Like how bad could it be? That got quiet.
As long as it's recorded, I'm going to just nod.
Well, we go based off of the...
Okay, Bob, it's okay. Yeah. This is a safe house.
And I was like, dude, 20... Wait, so the 80s was 40 years ago. Like, that shit doesn't count. Like, there's no court that's going to hold up, you know? And it's not like I'm saying, like, I bought the shit from Pablo Escobar either. I'm like, it's not like I was old. I was fucking 12 years old. What the fuck did I know? I just knew that, like...
That would be cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you grew up in the Valley, so it was all, like... routed right past your house probably.
What's funny is like talking to my friends who grew up in the suburbs of Houston, they're like, oh, we didn't have to go get beer. We had like pharmaceutical drugs. Like they had like in the early 2000s, they had like the good shit. They had like the good speed, the prescribed cocaine, basically. So,
oh my gosh.
And all the kids had that. Yeah, it's funny. And that's the thing. I'm like, man, fucking daughter's gonna grow up here. Like, I gotta figure out what the fuck she's gonna be getting into. It's like, you know, like, no, it's like, is so and so just fucking snorting coke? And she's like, no, it's Ritalin. She's got ADD. It's just it's in powder form.
She's over here crushing up her meds.
What do you cut Ritalin with, Len?
I don't know. Like, it's weird, right? It's like it's
you know when you're trying to turn a profit on the street.
I don't know. I'm thinking like a Wondra flower or something that's a little bit more like of a neutral, not so much on the acidic or on the litmus scale, not too much of a base. I don't know. I honestly don't know, but I'm sitting here listening to these stories about like all the shit everybody was, you know, hopped up on. And it's like, what's funny is that it was prescribed. She's like, yeah, you know, I mean, it's so competitive. Like all these kids are in school trying to get like, you know, the top 1% or top 2% so they can go into A&M fucking Aggies. And it's like, they gotta like, they're breaking, you know, bending over backwards to get in that shit school just to like, and going through all these, you know, whatever it is to help them pay attention in school. And it's also like, well, motherfucker, like, doesn't everybody have ADD? Like, isn't that like, aren't we all a little ADD? Fucking Amy has to tell me 3 times, like in the same 5 minutes to do something. And I still choose to forget.
Yours is a severe case.
Yeah, I don't know. I do think when you're over 40, it's not diagnosed. Anybody over the age of 40 right now probably went undiagnosed with ADD.
Nice people would say you're on the spectrum.
Oh, man.
But you have some problems paying attention.
Yeah, I was told, so like normally at work meetings, they can't ever say like, da 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 da, what do you think, Lenny? They have to say, Lenny, da 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 da, what do you think? Like, I have to be called to attention. Like, oh, pay attention now. This is the part where you pay attention.
It's my turn. Yeah.
Wait, what? which I disagree with. I don't necessarily think that's exactly true, but I mean, whatever. I don't know. I do find the trick to like landing a girl is to pretend to be interested or be interested. One or the other. But that's definitely one of the things that women tend to like. I mean, Margaret.
So then if you're not interested, do you hear like that wah, 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 wah?
So you know what we do? We just kind of look at your mouth, move, and then like nod our head. And we'll crinkle our forehead. Like we'll crinkle the forehead. Like, oh. Yeah, I know that bitch is crazy. That's kind of what we do.
Smile. Thank you. Yeah. Now I know.
Yeah, we'll smile. Well, you know, sometimes it is what it is.
I hope you have an all-male reporting chain at work.
Oh, no. Amy, you know, so like Amy doesn't like the misogynistic jokes or whatever, yet she did a really good one the other day. Oh, it was a long time ago. But like, so one of Amy's coworkers transitioned from female to male, right? And like everybody had to be aware, like, hey, listen, you know, Janice is now Jack or whatever. And Amy's sitting there and she's scratching her head. And we're very progressive as a family. And Amy's sitting there scratching her head and she goes, did she get a raise right away? Or does she have to wait for the next pay cycle? Like, how does that work? Like, when a woman, and Amy's like, to this day, she's like, that's not a misogynistic joke. That is a, like a whatever joke. I don't know. I wasn't listening, but it was like, I'm like, no, that's the same. It's along the same lines. But yeah, she said like when somebody transitioned, it's like, did they get a raise right away? I don't know. That's
crazy.
It is pretty crazy. So Margaret also, yeah, Margaret is also on the, what is that rolling the eye? See, this is why I fucking did the FaceTime, because I want to see her rolling her eyes. Let's see.
Go on.
So, Margaret, how's everything on the job hunt going? Have you found any bites, anything out there?
I haven't made any kills. I am gathering information and, you know, stuff like that. So
doing your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I was telling Amy today, I'm like, man, babe, like what happens if we have to like move to Mexico or something like that? And she's like, for what? I'm like, oh, work. Like we're going to work. Move to Mexico for work. Like, why would you have to do that? I'm like, hypotheticals. Like, I don't know. Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, it's a pretty crazy time right now. I don't know. It's,
It's tough. Today I had to, actually fright pick my boxes from work.
You broke up. Say that again.
The boxes that they put my cubicle in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all my belongings, they boxed it all up. And so I remember every time I would move cubes, I had to use like 3 or 4 big moving crates, right?
Yeah.
So then as I pulled up to the gate.
Yeah.
As I pulled up to the gate, the facilities guy came out with like 2 little tiny boxes. And I'm like, what the fuck? My shit's not, that's not all my shit. No. So then like, he puts them in my trunk. I'm not able to get off. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, thank you, bye. So then I get home, unbox them. There's some things that are missing.
Like what?
And, okay, I'm going to be really petty right now.
Yeah,
so it's like highlighters, pins that are still in there, you know, that I remember purchasing. And like Expo markers. I had a cell phone desktop stand. I had little like little frames on my desk that were not packaged up in those boxes. So I shoot off an email real quick. I'm like so emotional. I'm like, you know, these are things that I purchased with my own money. Who are you to say what comes or what stays? You know, these are things that I purchased. So can I please just let me know when I can go pick them up? And so somebody responds and they're like, we can't find it. And I said, yeah. So I said, not only that, you know, not only the office supplies that you did not package, I also had some personal files there in my filing cabinet that I do need. And I had 2 thumb drives there. And I said, one thumb drive has my kids' pictures on there. And another one has some other information. So some guy responds and he says, I already went through the thumb drives and it has Zachary information on there that I cannot give to you, that I cannot release to you. And I said, okay, did you find the other stuff? And he's like, I'll have somebody get in touch with you. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't understand why they couldn't just let us escort us, go package up our boxes, our cubicles, and let's take our stuff home. Like, no big deal.
Did but they hire a third party to go through and pack up offices? Because
that's what I heard.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
And these people, they have like no sense of really what the company does or what sensitive information and what's not. And so they make poor choices that way. I've been through that routine before as well. And yeah, so that's what might have happened.
I think it would have been cheaper for us to go in, you know, and package, box all our belongings up ourselves.
The threat is they don't want you like going into your computer and like downloading all your price book or pricing information or shit like that. That's the drawback there. That's the rationale why they don't want you doing that. I've seen companies do, call everybody into the conference room, lay them off at the time. And then like when they get back to their desk, like their keyboards and mouse are gone. It's like, that's really petty. But the thing with Margaret's situation though, Bob, when they severed Margaret, they did it kind of at law. So they didn't have any like, all right, well, you don't fuck with us and you'll get your last like 4 weeks of vacation paid out. They just did an immediate severance and they're like, your last day is tomorrow and we're not going to pay you anymore. And that was it. Like it was an immediate severance, which was strange, but apparently in Texas, that's the law.
Yeah, they can do that in Texas, and they will. It just depends on the company.
Yeah.
And I was working from home when they, you know, when they sent me the email and they made that phone call that Friday.
It's
tough.
I got notice from home as well.
Yeah. So I was going through my boxes, Leonard, and I had all my pictures up. I was with the company for 13 years, 12 years. And I had, you know, our pictures with the CEO And this guy's gigantic. He's maybe like 6'5", 6'7". And in order to take a picture with the same frame, I had to stand on a stool. So I have a picture of my father in my 10-year. I had a sitting in my desk framed and whatnot. So I got those back in a box. And today I was scratching out his face with a breakup. Like, I just broke up with my boyfriend. I was just scratching out his face.
Did you really? So Zachary's still a family-owned company and whatnot, and like when you make like your 5-year, 10-year, you take a picture with the president, like you shake, you get it like a plaque, and they shakes your hand, and they take a professional photo, and then you put it on your desk like it's some fucking award, like it's a big accomplishment or some bullshit like that. And so Margaret, you scratched out his face.
Like, I was like this.
fuck you, tall motherfucker. I'm done. Oh no.
Fuck you with your Sasquatch ass. Just
all the emotions. Oh.
Yeah, and then my son saw me doing it and he was like, "Mom, what are you doing?
Why are you ruining that picture?
Yeah, don't you want memories?" And I'm like, "No, I don't."
Oh, that's got to be a lot of emotion. I would not want to be around that. I'm sorry. That sounds terrible. Oh.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It was cool. That's fine.
It was cool. It was fine. Yeah. No, it was fine. It's fine. Whatever. It's whatever. The knife is still in the face, but whatever. I hired a voodoo doctor.
Darts.
Yeah. The doll. Yeah, you know, whatever. Tomorrow I'm going to pull his arms off. But, you know, no hard feelings. Whatever. I'm fine.
Amazing how just like a simple month severance would have changed that completely, right?
Exactly.
I know. It is. So Bob, some of Margaret's coworkers actually left Zachary a while ago, and they went to go work for Marathon, doing the Eagle Forge stuff, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure. They're probably gonna get a big axe as well, if they haven't already.
Yeah. Marathon laid off recently. A lot of oil companies have laid off recently. It's just a tough time for oil and gas. So I got laid off from my gig, but they let me go and pack up my own cubicles. So I made off with all of the Purell in the office. So how about that?
These motherfuckers. I'll take my sanitation.
Yeah, you can go catch COVID. You can all catch COVID, and I'll be over here with the Purell.
So, all right. So here's the thing that's kind of cool. So Margaret did a lot of traveling, like to the East Coast. Where did you go, Margaret? Where was your
Florida, Texas, Mississippi?
And what was the fab yard? What was that fab yard you used to go to?
Moss Point.
Oh, it was Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Moss Point, Mississippi.
So Bob had to go to Argentina a lot.
Oh wow!
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a fun trip.
Did you do you think you'd ever live there?
Yeah, I could see myself living there, be it like an expat assignment or something to that tune.
What was this like so I have no idea what Argentina is like. So what is it like, you know, socioeconomically? Like how much, like could you be I don't know, like a normal middle blue collar or middle class person living okay there, or like no, if you're gonna live in Argentina, you need to be upper class so you can afford private school and all that stuff.
You know, much like a lot of Latin America, there is a, you know, pretty big earnings divide, but it seems to me, and I haven't been anywhere, right? But for Argentina, it doesn't seem to be as great a challenge there as is in some countries like maybe Brazil or Chile or. You know, some of the other, Colombia, Venezuela, Argentina seems to have a decently healthy middle class, but everybody lives in Buenos Aires, right? So
it's all focused in one city, basically.
Whole country there, and then it's all like farmland after that.
Wow, I don't know. That'd be pretty interesting. I've never been to South America, which is bad. It's bad to say that. I've been to a lot of different continents, but I've not been to South America, so. I need to try and make some kind of a conscious effort to go there. I'm fascinated with Argentina. I think what fascinates me the most is like what actually What really fascinates me is, like, so Christopher Columbus was Italian, but Italy did not want to fund his trip. So he had to get funding from Spain. Had fucking Italy decided to fund his trip, like, half of the fucking world would be speaking Italian, which is crazy to think about. But for some reason, Argentina is like this little pocket where you have an enormous amount of Italian influence and immigration into.
Yeah, it definitely has that feel. You feel like you're in Italy when you're there, just culturally, cuisine-wise, the disposition of people's attitudes and stuff. It feels very much Italian.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be I would really be interested to see what. And it's like, there's, what is that? Uruguay is like, there's like all of the like SS, Hitler's special secret guards, whatever, migrated to Uruguay. Is it Uruguay? Is that where they all went?
Some of them, yeah, and some of them in Argentina as well.
Oh, they're really?
Rumored to be.
I mean, they changed their names to, like, you know, D'Angelo or whatever. They magically, oh, Giuseppe. Like, are you sure his name is Gustav? I'm like, no, it's Giuseppe.
Hitler was rumored to be living in San Bariloche, Argentina, after the war.
Really?
That's one of the rumors.
Wow.
Never proven, but there's been books written about it.
That's crazy.
Hey, wasn't that movie Irishman? Didn't it end something like that?
Wait.
What was it, that one?
The Irishman, like the Martin Scorsese, the 8-hour movie?
Oh, I can't remember. I watched a movie on Netflix, I think it was, and they were hunting the Jews and I can't remember. Dang it. No, who was it? Al Pacino was in it.
Well, they love him in Argentina, that's for sure.
They what? No, they love him.
they love all the Italian-American actors in Argentina.
Wow.
Like, so the Irishman, for example, that came out recently, there was billboards for them all over the place.
Really?
Yes, it was like an obsession, yeah.
Why?
Because, like, they like the whole mob thing.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's, you know, crazy.
Because almost everyone there has Italian roots. So they're into that Italian mob culture. And, you know, obviously the U.S., they have a bit of an obsession with what goes on in the United States as well. So
that's pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. I was telling, I don't know. So what's funny in Mexico, like when it comes to American football, it's strange, but Mexico is divided as a country. Like, maybe now it's different, but like most Mexicans you meet love either the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Dallas Cowboys. And for the life of me, I never understood. And I have pictures of me as a kid in Mexico City with like Pittsburgh Steelers shirts. And my brother's best friend in Mexico City is a huge Steelers fan, humongous Steelers fan. And what it all boils down to is, like, when they started to broadcast American football abroad, like especially in Mexico, it was in the 70s. And in the 70s, it was dominated by the Roger Staubach and Terry Bradshaw. Like it was all Steelers and Cowboys. So it's really weird how like that stuck from the 70s to today. It stuck. They're Mexicans like either the Steelers or the Cowboys. And it's really fucking weird how much they like, especially the Steelers. That one, I'm like, how can they like the Steelers so fucking much? But they do. They fucking love those Steelers. So Bob,
yeah,
Bob
I've seen that.
Bob was born in, were you born in Pennsylvania? Where were you born, Bob?
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. So Bob is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, big time. Actually, everything Pennsylvania. Who's the Sandusky? He loves Jerry Sandusky. Like, he's lived his modeled his entire middle-aged life is after Jerry Sandusky. Big, big, huge fan.
All right, we're going to take a quick break here, so go ahead. No. If anything, I like the Pitt Panthers, not the Penn State.
Fucking Lions. So, I was telling Margaret, I'm trying to find something good to watch on Netflix, and I started watching Space Force. That was pretty good. I was trying to watch, like, it's weird, like with all this COVID stuff, like it seems like entertainment is taking a real hit as well, which I guess is to be expected, but there's very little like movies. There's nothing really out that's come across that I want to see. And Netflix, man, is it just dry right now? I've gone through everything. Is there anything good that I should be watching? Anything you guys found?
Have you talked about Tiger King on this show yet?
Oh, Margaret, have you seen Tiger King? Yes.
I loved it. So stupid. I loved it.
Did you like his outfits? What did you like about it?
I liked his little mullet. I liked the way he was like always presenting himself as I'm the shit. You know, he's my bitch. This is my bitch. And he was just rowdy. He was just rowdy and stupid.
It was your classic love story of three guys in a married relationship with each other, all centered around methamphetamine. And large cat.
And I'm sure it was the intention of the directors, but I love how like with every person's like, oh, this motherfucker's crazy. He's, you know, like they're going over whatever his name is. And then it's like Carol Baskin. She's like, oh no, Joe Tiger, whatever his name is, dumb. He's crazy. But it's like every person you see is like, no, you're crazy too. Like you are fucking unbalanced. All of them were. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. Like it was like train wreck after train yes. wreck after train wreck, and I could not stop watching it.
Exactly.
There's no protagonist in the story. You're watching episode after episode trying to figure out who it is, and then you get to the end and you're like, these are all reprehensible people.
Yes, every single one of them. I'm like, they should all be in jail. It was crazy. I will say though, ever since that, did y'all see the one Making a Murderer? Have y'all seen that one?
Yeah.
So I ever since then, I got suckered in because I saw like a lot more to it, you know, but like what they showed on Netflix was very provocative. I'm like, oh, those motherfuckers. And it was pretty bad. I'm like, God damn it. I think this guy's innocent. Da, 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 da. And then like, you see like all the other, like not documentaries, but all the other stories that came out, articles, interviews about like all the shit they left out of the movie. You're like, all right. So there's a lot of selective editing that went on in that show. And I'm like, so I was very cautious when I started watching Tiger King. I was like, okay, so this is probably like a bullshit angle. I got to be careful, be on my toes for that. And like Bob said, I'm like, okay, so whatever they're saying, they're painting this guy as a good guy. He's probably bad. And then there's going to be another one that's probably right. And then Bob's right. It's like, fucking, all right, here's Carol Baskin. Like, oh, no, fucking cat lady's crazy as shit. And she probably allegedly fed her husband to those fucking cats. I'm fucking convinced. Like, I'm fucking convinced that she did. But then, like, there's a guy, the guy from Las Vegas. It's like, yes, he is also a crazy motherfucker. Like, every single one of them, like Bob said, is completely reprehensible. So, at first, when I started watching it, just because of that Making a Murder or whatever, I was like, there's an angle. There's something. There's got to be something. And then when every single one of them were like, and it's over. These were all crazy fucking people. I just couldn't, it was bad. It was crazy.
I guess the one guy that I would say is, if I had to choose, right, it would be the guy that's got all those brainwashed women there in South Carolina on that tiger farm.
Yeah, if I had to pick.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about him.
If I had to pick who I wanted to be. When I was a kid, I used to do that. We used to watch a show, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to be this guy. And like I would pretend like, oh, I'm Luke Skywalker, or like in this cartoon, this is me, or that. So like I would like that's like I would, if there was anybody in that show, that's who I'd want to be. Yeah, I see that. I definitely see that. I'm on board. Sign me up.
Oh my gosh! Hey, one show that I did watch, and this is on Amazon, is The Hunters. Have you heard of that one?
No.
No. Okay, so it's Al Pacino. A bunch of good other actors. I can't remember who's on there, but he's trying to find the last standing parts or people of Hitler's army, like Hitler's physicians, you know, like the guys that always were around Hitler. They're just trying to find them and just kill them. So I think it's Al Pacino who finishes off the movie, and we were talking about Argentina and how they think Hitler finished off or lived in Argentina or whatever. So the show ends with Al Pacino in Argentina, And it's so weird that y'all said that, because I was like, oh, wait, that's a movie. That's a show I just finished watching. And it's called The Hunters. It's a really good show.
Is it one episode or is it like a series?
It's a series on Amazon.
I'll have to check it out. I watched yesterday. I couldn't sleep, and just like out of boredom, I watched. Did you guys see that Firefest documentary?
Oh yes, that's a good one.
Man, have you seen that one, Margie?
No, what is it?
Oh,
Fyre Festival.
It is a fucking train wreck like you wouldn't believe. And
starring Ja Rule.
None other than Ja Rule and some white dude that had too much money or borrowed too much money from his mom and dad. So
what?
In 2017, I don't know where you were.
It's basically, real quick, it's just basically like what millennials, it's about millennials, right? how damn stupid they are.
oh, that's not accurate. That's not good. The generalizations don't do it. Is. So it's basically, so Bob's kind of right. I'm not going to say he's entirely right. He's right. It's basically they did this. But, all right, so here's the story. This guy, Billy McFarland, his name is William McFarland. He came up with an app to help people book talent. So like if you wanted to like book Robert De Niro for your birthday party, he came up with an app because that's something that a lot of people want. And so they're like, hey, to kick this off, how about, because he wanted to get Ja Rule to show up in an appearance or whatever. And they're like, how about to kick this app out? We're going to create this app. To kick it off, we're going to have a music concert on a secluded island in the Bahamas. And they're like, yeah. That sounds like a great idea. When are we going to do this? Like, we're going to throw this concert in 12 weeks. And, you know, we're going to, like, rent out we're going to get this Bahamas island. And we're going to have all these cabanas built. And everybody's going to stay in a cabana on the beach. And it's going to be crazy. We're going to have all these supermodels. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to go down next week. And we're going to shoot a promo video with all these supermodels. So it's like, it's a train wreck of unplanned project management. That's what I got out of that. I was like, here's a bunch of people that had no idea about project management trying to do something like that. And so they put this festival on, and they were trying to do it in one island in the Bahamas. And one of their logistics guys like, listen, guys, if you want to do this right now, you need to go to Home Depot and buy all of the toilets. You need toilets. You don't have enough toilets for all. You're going to have like 3,000 people. You need 1,000 toilets. And you need to get them going now. Like, that's where he was. Like, you need sanitation and water and energy. And they're like, no, we're going to do cabanas. It's going to be nice. And so it was just clusterfuck after clusterfuck after clusterfuck.
And they were upselling, like, the VIP package for, you know, I don't know, $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah, right? So Margie, yeah, so let's say you're like, hey, you get, like, this Emily Ratajkowski Big Boobs from the music video, the music video where we got sued.
Blurred Lines.
The one with the brunette with the yeah, you remember that show? Or that
yeah.
Music video? Okay. So they got her and a couple of other like models.
Kendall Jenner,
yeah, yeah. And they had these influencers, these and this is where I learned what the whole like this thing about an influencer was. But they had all these Instagram influencers basically participate in this promotional video where they're gonna go to this private island in Bahamas. And they went and they shot this great video. They had this wonderful time. It was great. They're on the boats and jet skis and it looked all awesome. And like, they're going to throw this music festival, this 3-day, 4-day music festival. And you just pay like, you know, $3,000 a night or $5,000 a night for this amazing music festival. Emily Ratajkowski and her big boobs are going to be there. Like, it's going to be this wonderful thing. And it sold. Like, they sold a shitload of tickets. They sold out. Like, they basically sold this thing out. And then after they sold out, they're like, how the fuck are we going to do this? They didn't plan anything. They have like 3,000 people showing up to this fucking small ass island that has nothing but sand on there. Like, you got to build.
Oh, and isn't it Pablo Escobar's island? Wasn't that how they advertised it?
They advertised it as Pablo Escobar's private island. And so everybody just like sunk their teeth into it. But the guy that actually owned the island said, you can't use Pablo Escobar's name. And they're like, okay, sure. And then, like, in their first promotional video, it's like, Pablo Escobar's Island. And the owner of the bar is like, I told y'all motherfuckers you can't do that, so now you're kicked off my island. And they're like, what? Wait, I don't understand. What does he mean we can't be there? And they're like, well, you see, he said, don't use that name. And then they're like, yeah, but we did. And he's like, yeah, and now you can't do what you wanted to do. And like, oh, and that's what Bob's talking about, like the millennial thing. And so they had to go find another island. And they went to like the Great Exumas, which is not a secluded island. It's like, and they did it like in this, they set up all these tents like in this newly developed or barely developed housing neighborhood. So like imagine like a master plan community, like where it's all like caliche road and dirt and rock, not even sand. And they set up these tents. It was bad. Margaret, where the fuck were you living in Iraq in 2017? Where were you?
What? Oh, shit. I'm like so fascinated right now.
It is super crazy. And then everybody showed up and it's like all, and they're all white. Like all these white, like youngsters showing up. And they got like, they got upsold. Like, but blah, 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 like, hey, listen, because like they needed money for the concert, right? They spent all the money. And they're like, well, you should probably pre-buy your trink. We're going to sell out this, the black band. It's a black race wristband for $250,000. And that gets you VIP access to everything. And so like all these kids are like borrowing money from mommy and daddy for the $2,000 or $250,000 wristband. And it's like, it's insane. And it went, and like, what's funny is like, you see this train wreck happening and they're like 12 weeks out, we didn't have this. And 6 weeks out, we didn't even have that. And then like 6 days out, they're like, we need to be working 24 hours a day, guys. We need day laborers. And they walked on everything. Like they didn't pay bills. They walked on the laborers. It was, and he's in court. He went to jail. So yeah, check out, and it's Fire Festival, and so you got to be cool. You can't spell it like F-I-R-E. It's F-Y-R-E, because that's how you spell fire.
I thought so.
Yeah, that's a cool way.
Because that's how you hashtag it, right?
Yeah, and then they were trying to, and they were suing the Instagram people too, the influencers. They're like, you promised us this shit. It's pretty crazy. And I watched it again last night just because there's something beautiful about watching a train wreck happen. Like it's just mistake after mistake. And I don't know. I've said this a bunch of times. I'd love to be a fly on the wall on lots of time. And like, that would be a great one to just watch all the fuck ups happen. And it was beautiful. It was magnanimous how much they fucked up that show. I mean, people all flew in and like, they didn't cancel the show. Like the artists, like they were going to have like Blink 182, they canceled, like all the artists canceled, but they never canceled people coming in. They didn't tell people. So they all flew into the island and the island didn't have infrastructure. They didn't have shit. And they're like, oh, well, you have a shitty tent and it's all wet because it rained last night. And they're like, well, can we get a hotel? Like, nope, there's no hotels. They're all booked up. Like they were like, well, we want to go home. Nope, no planes going home. Like they were, it was madhouse. It was insane. And again, like, it's a madhouse for like a bunch of overprivileged Americans, like in the grand scheme of things. Like the Bahamians are like, what are you complaining about? You got yourself a mattress. What are you complaining about? Mm-hmm. Like it was like, you know, for them, yeah, for you know, for Todd and whoever, you know, like, you know, John Q, whatever. Like it was a thing. But yeah, check it out if you want to see a train wreck. It was extremely impressive. Yeah, so I got stuck watching that last night.
That's a good one. And it also kind of reminds me of what happened in the corporate world a lot. Like a VP or CEO will promise the world that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but they don't know how to do it. And then they turn to all the employees and say, figure this out.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, well, you promised the moon. Now what do we do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. We can finish this building in 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Right, guys? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody, 3 weeks? Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we can do it. We can do it. Fucking Bob the Builder.
So what were you going to say, Margaret? I'm sorry I interrupted you.
So would y'all be comfortable traveling right now on the air? You know, the airplane?
I would not. I don't know. What do you think, Bob? Have you got any travels booked, Bob?
No, not till a friend of ours wedding, like, in September.
I forgot about that wedding.
Who just texted me 5 minutes before, this call and, told me that he was moving the venue.
So it was supposed to be in Dallas, wasn't it? Are we talking about the same guy?
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah. So where's the wedding now?
Dallas.
Oh, that's not a flight. That's a car ride.
No, I know, but that was the only flight that I had booked for late September, I guess that was. So, no, I probably would not not getting on an airplane right now.
I saw tickets to Tokyo, Bob, or round trip, $500.
It's enticing, Shush. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. A friend of mine from college, he's a pretty big world traveler, and he was showing the snippets from orbits or whatever. It's like, yeah, round trip from Austin to Tokyo. I mean, granted, two stops, whatever, but $500.
And you can fly to Wuhan for even less than that.
I'm down. Catch a train somewhere.
Yeah, good. I'm going to fly into Wuhan and then I'll just, yeah, train from there. That is fucking crazy. I don't know. Margaret. No, I don't plan on getting on a plane. Not that I'm like super scared or anything like that, but I just don't want to deal with that. I mean, if I don't have to fly, I won't. Like, I have no draw unless if our friend's like, hey, I want to have a bachelor party in Vegas again. I'm like, all right, well, fucking, I guess I'm not driving to Vegas, but like,
I've never been to Vegas.
You've never been to Vegas?
No.
Oh, we should go.
Never.
We should totally go. It's a lot of fun.
Lenny had his bachelor party there. Where were you?
She was working. She was too expensive for the bachelor party. yeah.
Couldn't afford me.
We had another friend of ours. It was funny as shit too, because it was a couple of summers ago. A friend of ours, like, we get the mass. I don't know if it was a text or an email. And he's like, hey guys, listen, you know, me and my girlfriend we're planning on getting married. It's kind of we don't want to have a real big celebration, so we're going to do just something small and you know, whatever. But we're going to have the bachelor party next month, and we're going to get married in, you know, 6 weeks. And Bob and I both were the ones who were like, eh. So I was like, I had nailed it, but Bob was like, eh, there's, what did you say, Bob? There was some, what was it?
What?
About our buddy getting married so quickly. You're like, there was some guilt. You said there's some guilt behind this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she pregnant?
There was some driving force there that I couldn't quite put my finger on.
Of course she was pregnant, Margaret. Of course she was. And you know what's funny is, like, I have a lot of Catholic friends. So I grew up Catholic. So I have a lot of Catholic friends, and every single one of them, and I mean every single one of them, gets caught by this one rule. They think that, like, when you go to the priest and say, I want to get married in 4 months, they think the priest doesn't know what's going on. And so, like, you can't get married in the Catholic Church any sooner. Like, when you say, priest, you know, father so-and-so, I'd like to marry my beautiful wife that I've met for, you know, that I've known for 8 weeks. I would like to marry her in 2 months. Like, it doesn't happen. He's like, well, no, we have to go through training, and you have to take the classes, and we got to fill out paperwork, and it's got to get sent to the archdiocese of your, you know, whatever. And it usually takes around 6 to 8 months. So we don't do weddings sooner than 6 to 8 months. And every person I know that's had the shotgun wedding gets caught with that rule. They're like, I didn't fucking know. I'm like, yeah, that's right.
Hey, and not only that, sometimes you have to, either your spouse or both parties have to make their communion, make their confirmation in order to get married in the Catholic Church.
So Amy wasn't Catholic. We had those challenges too. But the main thing is, they're like, all right, Father, we're ready to get married. We're both Catholic. We've checked all the boxes, and we'd like to get married next month. Nope. And they'll say it's for paperwork.
I'm so sorry. No.
No. No. No. No.
Oh, my child.
Yeah, my child. No. It's always like, oh, no, the paperwork. We got to make everything right, and you know, it's just not enough time. It's not. We need more time, and there's no reason. There's no rush. Is there? There's nothing like, it's not like there's anything gestating in her belly, is there? I'm the one that called it out. I called it out right out of the bell, like, hey, she's pregnant, isn't she? And like the next day I get the call, like, dude, you fucking called it, man, she's pregnant.
Oh, man.
It's all right. I mean,
it happens.
It's no big deal. I mean, and then of course, like all things Catholic though, I had another friend go through the same thing, and it's like, well, if you grease the wheels good enough, you can still get that Catholic wedding. It's just a little, it just costs a little bit more. That's all. But yeah, so we were supposed to get married in a Catholic church, and I paid, and like I had a, like they take a donation, quote unquote donation. I was like, yeah, it's, and being that you're from out of town, the standard donation, the recommended standard donation is $300, but being that you're from out of town, it's $500. I'm like, all right. So we wrote the check or whatever. And then like they messed up. They didn't tell us one of the rules. And the father made a mistake. The priest made a big mistake, and he didn't tell us the rule that Amy's previous marriage had to get annulled. And so they weren't able to do the marriage in time because her previous marriage wasn't annulled. And she's like, well, I'm not Catholic, whatever. Anyways, but long story short, I had to call the church back that we're going to get married. I'm like, hey, listen, I'm going to need my money back because you guys aren't going to marry us in the church. They're like, oh, well, we don't do refunds. I'm like, oh, now you do. Like, you're either giving me a refund or two things are going to happen. You're either going to give me a refund or we're going to get married in your church, or worst case scenario, I will tell my mom you're not giving me a refund and she will go collect. And she's annoying as fuck. And like, oh, no, Mr. Sanchez, check's in the mail, sir. Check's in the mail.
Yeah.
Here he goes. You actually got your money back?
I actually got my money. And trust me, that's probably the first check that the Catholic Church has ever had a right that didn't have to do with like pedophilia or whatever.
As bad as oh, my gosh.
That is innocent say. Right.
I was going to say that money is usually a one-way street.
unless it's like to pay off a judge or something. Like,
yeah, unless it's hush money.
Unless it's hush money. Like they're like, I don't even think we have a checkbook, Mr. Sanchez. Like, you'll find it. You'll find that fucking checkbook. You cash that shit really fast. Like I put that check in the mail on Monday. Fucking Wednesday, the money was out of the bank. Like, you guys cash that shit. You move your ass. Yeah, it was a stressful, man. That was a stressful, fucking hell, stressful shit. What's funny is like my wedding, I made the mistake of getting married on football season. Like, that's just not a good idea. It's just, it wasn't a good idea. Like, it, in hindsight, like we were playing, our school was playing Kansas State, I think, that weekend. And then getting a bunch of college people together, like, it would have been better if well, nobody died. Nobody got arrested. I guess it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It worked out okay. I'm still married, I guess.
You're good.
It was good.
Yeah, like it.
So I will say, all kidding aside, Margaret, we used to go like to Mexico to party. So like the last podcast we talked about, Bob and I, we had this trip to South Padre Island for spring break.
Mm-hmm. The guys were I've never been.
You've never been? It's a shithole. It's nothing great. It's not like it's Panama City Beach, but nonetheless, bunch of college kids. It's a lot of fun. And one night we all drove to Mexico, but like we're like closer inland, like where I grew up. And I took them to a strip club, a very famous strip club that I bring a lot of friends to. And it was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie. I always had a lot of fun at that strip club. And I don't know, Bob, what did you think of that strip club?
It was good.
The beer was cheap.
it was an experience. No, it was good.
No, it's funny.
You're like, I just went for the steak and shrimp. That's all I went for. Steak and fries.
Whenever I hear this conversation comes up, I'm still not quite sure how much I should say.
What's funny is like
I'm still nervous about this.
Well, don't worry, it closed down. One of my friends, the last time he went, the Federales showed up like with their full AR-15s and did a raid. So like that was the straw that broke the camel's back for him. So that place had closed down, and I'm sure it was funded or bankrolled by some illegal, illicit activities, I guess. It was a nice place. It was a classy joint. They used to bring you like peanuts, like the mixed peanuts, you know, so like when you're drinking your beer, you have some like salty peanuts. And what's funny is like, I would bring my friends there, everybody from like the United States, I'd bring them there and they'd all go through this evolution. And it's funny, they're like, this place is so dirty. Like, we got to be careful, right? Like, we can't, like they put crushed glass in the nuts, right? Like, in the little peanuts, there's crushed glass in there, right? Like, surely it's all, like, we can't, like, and make sure that when they bring you the beer, it's still sealed. You watch them open the beer. And, like, everybody kind of goes through this first like initial phase where they're real scared at first and like they're all on their toes and they walk up and it's like, oh, okay, all right, all right. And then everybody starts drinking like, okay, this is, all right, it's not bad, but the girls are gross. Like, I'm sure they're all diseased and so disgusting. But then like everything's fine. I'm just not going to eat the nuts and I'll drink my beer and I'll be fine. And then like three or four beers later, like, yeah, okay, so you know what? I like this place. It's not bad. You know, I think it's kind of cool. I think I might be a regular. I think I might come back again. I like it. And then it's like,
and all of a sudden they go good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
The nuts are good.
Like six beers in, like, man, these peanuts are delicious. They're digging their hand in the bowl and licking their, these nuts are delicious. Hey, you know, they have food. You can order tacos here. Did you guys know that? And then it's like, and it's the same thing happens with the girl. Like, oh, all these girls, everything is like, oh, they're gross. And then they, and like, no, everything's great except for her. She's kind of cute. And then like they go, and then like, again, eight beers later, like, I would, okay, all five of those I would marry. I would marry all five of those. It's like this evolution that happens. And then, of course, like after the strip club, it's like you get done. And so what do? We go to like the taco stands afterwards. And it's just, it's an amazing experience. I wish Emma would grow up to know how fun that was. No, it's crazy. It's crazy. It is super crazy to think like we grew up as kids going to Mexico to drink. Like, I was at the golf course telling people about that, and they're like, "How did you live?" Like, I don't know. I guess it was fine back then. I guess. Like, I don't know. So what was different?
Exactly. I'd be scared to go back. I know. I had spent like one spring break in Mexico. I think it was Reynosa.
Ah, that was my stop.
Yeah, I spent one spring break there, and I was a little terrified.
You spent the spring break in Mexico? Like, in Reynosa, or you, like, across the border, and then you do go back and forth?
Yeah, I go back and forth.
Oh, yeah. So you're probably in McAllen. Mm-hmm. That was my hometown.
McAllen, yeah. It was a little scary. And, you know, like, every time my daughter tried to pull some bullshit on me, I'm like, I've been there.
I've been
to
Mexico.
Don't try that. You're doing it all wrong to begin with.
You get your own hotel room. Yeah. And in college, we used to go, I had a couple of friends, we'd go down to Acuna, which was across from Del Rio, which is an even smaller town. It was all like, the people that go across the border, they were all hunters. And like, that town was essentially like, you cross the border, there's like two restaurants and then like their boys town. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody gets into trouble. Like, that's just kind of what happens when you grow up. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's how you live and learn. I don't know.
I'd be scared to cross the border these days, though.
And my brother goes back and forth every day for work. I guess I'm okay with it. I don't know that I would go like getting wasted and trying to come back all drunk and shit. I probably wouldn't do that. Or at least if I did, I'd be a little bit cooler. I wouldn't be all like flamboyant about being shit-faced. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's still a lot of fun. I take it all back. We go to, there's a town called Progreso, and that's where like all the winter Texans and senior citizens, they have charter buses that take them just across the bridge so they can go to the pharmacies and shit, and they get all loaded up on their Viagra and Cialis. Yeah, but they have, it's just that town, it's all just one street of restaurants and bars. And that's actually a lot of, I do like Progreso a lot. I take it back. Margaret, I'll take you there. It's a lot of fun. You go, you eat, you drink. It's very laid back. It's all day drinking. You know, you can stay late at night if you want. It's all fine. But it's also like right, like you can see the bridge. So it's pretty, I would say it's pretty safe. When we went to Diamante, it was like a 20-minute drive once you crossed the bridge. Like it wasn't right there. Like you had to go in fact, there was the boys town, like the red light district, that was close to the bridge, but the strip club that we go to, that was like, you had to make sure you had at least a half a tank of gas. You had to have like money for the toll road or for the bridge. Like it was a trek. You weren't just like, I mean, we still did it, but like it was a determination to go there.
Are Spring Breakers still, Padre Spring Breakers, I guess, particularly, still doing the Matamoros, Reynosa?
I'm sure they are.
Border Cross?
I am sure they are. I haven't. The last time I had friends that go to South Padre Island for spring break, we were like in our mid-20s, and my buddy's like, dude, I felt old and fat. I'm like, yeah, I would never go to like a Padre or like a Panama City for spring break after college. No, even in college, I was old and fat. But yeah, I think everybody still is. I don't know that that's ever... I don't know that that ever like saw any decline, maybe a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the draw is to South Padre Island either. Like, it really isn't a very, like, the water sucks. It's not very nice. It's still pretty, and it's a good drink fest. It's a good party place, but like, I don't know. I don't know why I would do that and not like, if I'm driving from Michigan or some shit like that, I'm not going to go to South Padre Island. I'd go to fucking,
hell no.
I'd go to, yeah, I would go to like Panama City. I'd go to Florida, somewhere in the panhandle of Florida. I don't know. That's just me. No, but
anyway. My whole thing is that I'm really worried about all the cartel activity if we're across the border these days.
Well, they've been selling, like they've been making and selling drugs for like 50 years.
Yeah, but what if they want to take me? They'd want to steal me.
Nobody cares about you that much, Margaret. I don't know, like anybody that would want to take you now would have wanted to take you 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't know that, and maybe that's just me being ignorant or whatever, but I don't know that. Now, granted, like I said, I wouldn't be going to, like, there's a couple of towns in Mexico that you should probably avoid, and, like, I wouldn't be rolling it around, driving around Mexico in a Mercedes or anything like that. Like, you know, when you go to Mexico, you kind of, like, try and dress down or look the part, I guess. You still stand out like a sore thumb, though, but I think, I don't know. And again, I'm 100% biased because I can speak Spanish, but like I would be okay with going. I have not had a problem taking Emma, but at the same time, Lord. Yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't know. We went to Mexico for a wedding like 3 years ago. We went to a town called San Miguel in the middle of Mexico. Like, the nearest airport was like 45 miles away. It was like
a nice town.
It is a nice town. It's a very nice town. But, like, we flew in, and we flew into this small town called Querétaro, and it was a direct flight from Houston, but it's one of those towns where you, like, airports where you land on the tarmac. We got the rental car, and the down payment or the deposit for the rental car was, like, $2,800 or $2,500. I was like, $2,000? Like, are you shitting me? And it's like, well, that's how much the car is worth. So we rented a car. And this is the thing. Like, I've never in my life rented a car in Mexico, ever. Like, every time I go to Mexico, I'd either drive or, like, I would take public transportation. But with Emma, we had to rent a car. We had to rent a car. She was 2 years old. So that was a big fucking problem because we were bringing all kinds of shit. Like, we have our bags, our luggage. It was a fucking wedding, so we had to bring all our fucking suits and outfits and shit like that. And then, like, Emma's crib and all this shit. And then, like, we get to this town, and, like, I forgot to exchange money. So I had to drive from Querétaro to this town called San Miguel. And Mexico now has they call it the autopista, but it's like an autobahn. It's like a toll road through Mexico. So the roads are really nice. You can go really fast. However, you have to stop like every 15 miles and pay a toll. And I didn't have pesos. Did I tell you guys this? I told you guys this.
Yes. I've heard this once before, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So like we stop at this toll road and I'm like, fuck. I tell Amy, like, I only have is like $20 of US. And like the toll is like 30 cents. I'm like, we're fucked. We are fucked. And so I roll down the window and I explain to the guy in my fairly good Spanish. And I'm like, listen, all I have is a 20. Can you make change? He's like, no. And he points to the car behind me and says, you need to go ask them for money. And so I'm at this, like, in the middle of the night, like, dark as shit toll booth in the middle of nowhere in the mountains in Mexico, because it's all high elevation, too. It's like 7,000 feet in the air. I had to go fucking walk to this car. I'm buckling my seatbelt. I get out. I'm like, Amy, this is in the story, when they tell my story, this is the part where I die. This is where I say goodbye to you and Emma, and I go ask a complete stranger behind us to go break a $20 bill. And so, yeah, sure enough, like, I had to walk, and the people that I'm walking up to, they get scared, too. They're starting to get a little freaked out because, like, what the fuck is this? So, yeah, it was really creepy. I had to go and ask for money. It was bad. Anyways, but, yeah, I don't know. Getting along in Mexico, I tell all my friends, like, yes, go. Take public transportation, enjoy it, stay local. You can do Airbnb, but I would do hotels, but like stay local, eat, find where everybody eats, find out where, and just immerse yourself in it. You're going to be fine. If you go in there with like Louis Vuitton luggage and shit like that, well, yeah, you look like a mark and you look like somebody's going to fucking rip you off.
Yeah.
So, anyways, well, this is a riveting conversation. We had a little bit of technological issues with the cutting in and out. We should try and wrap it up. I don't know, Bob. What do you think? Are you guys holding out okay? You think you'd be all right?
Yeah, I think time will pass and things will get back to normal slowly. But it makes you appreciate some of the more simple things in life, right? When they get cut off, like just going out to a restaurant or a bar, meeting up with friends, and those kinds of simple things, right? You don't realize until they're taken away how nice they are, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Margaret, you're still going out, or you started to go out now, right, Margaret? No, you went out a couple times. Why are you shaking your head?
A date. No date.
Not a date, but you went out to bars and stuff with friends.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when they opened.
Yeah.
Even before they opened.
So Margaret was already enjoying all that.
Yeah, I was. So we went to the lake yesterday.
What lake?
Burney Lake in Kendall County. Okay. So previously they had said only Kendall County residents can go to Burney Lake and, of course, use the facilities there. But I want to say it was last week they changed that policy and they said it's open to the public. Anybody can come. But, dude, it's like $15 a car load.
It's... And what like you could use a facility? Would it have like bathrooms, or you just pee in the lake?
You just pee in the lake. Why not, right?
Yeah, why not?
As long as it's not a deuce. Oh,
classy and gross.
It's Fire Festival standards.
Yeah, dude. Seriously, Margaret, tonight watch Fire Fest on Netflix.
I'm going to.
And you're gonna there's no fucking way these people had like any decision making capabilities whatsoever. And they would keep saying shit like, "Listen, we're not like somebody's like, hey, dude, there's not gonna be enough places for people to sleep. Like, listen, we're not a problems focused organization. We're a solutions focused. Like, what the fuck does that mean?"
That's the part that reminds me of corporation speak, corporate speak, like, yes. Just like, no, we're all about the solution here. Yeah.
Well, step one, in that case, what's your solution to this problem then? It was a bad clusterfuck. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'll tell you what, like they're opening up restaurants and things like that. I'm still kind of cool doing takeout. I still don't know. I don't know. It's gonna be weird. I don't know how people are gonna open up to like all that, or if they're all gonna make it. There's so many bankruptcies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wish everybody the best, but I don't know. It's really weird. Once you unleash something like letting everybody work from home, like it's gonna be a long time before you can undo that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I agree.
It's gonna be crazy. So imagine if you guys got a new job and you're working from home. Like, how would that be? Like, oh, I'd like to meet you. Like, orientation. Well, this is Margaret. This is what she looks like from the waist up. How do you get introduced to new teams and stuff like that?
Working. Well, she's at least got a good picture to use. I need to work on that.
Yeah. Bob, that beard is, man, is it magnanimous. Oh, you got the Houston Astros hat. Hey, what did you think about the sign stealing? Was that a bad thing? Did that make a difference?
Well, I'll tell you, the Houston Astros are glad that baseball's not being played right now, because coming into this season, that was like going to be the big story all year long, is how are the Astros going to redeem themselves from the scandal? And now that baseball hasn't come to an agreement to play, it's like the Astros are like, oh, good, this story's not on us. Yeah. It's the COVID year, not the Astros cheating year.
So, Mark, did you know about what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess it's a big deal. I don't know. Like,
that is a big deal. That's cheating.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's a big deal because they got caught. I mean, like, everybody cheats, I think, right? I mean, that's why you have like people checking to make sure nobody breaks the rules, because it's like everybody does it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's cheating for sure. I don't know if they were the only ones that did it, but
No, they weren't.
That's true.
In fact, the Red Sox were proven to have been doing it too. And so the real interesting story here is, why were the Red Sox punished a fraction of what the Astros were?
I didn't know.
Because they're one of the blue chip teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're the Yankees or anything, but yeah, they're definitely a blue chip team. You don't want to tarnish that name too much. But were they doing the banging on the trash can? Because that was, when I saw that video, I was like, oh damn, like that was bang bang. Like that was pretty. Was that what Red Sox were doing too?
They might have been doing some of that, but I think they had like an Apple Watch scandal going on as well. And
wow.
Yeah, there's some dirt on them.
That's pretty crazy.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Seriously, who cares? It's like the whole concussion thing. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, let them do whatever they want. It's for my entertainment. I don't care. And actually, I don't know. I'm weird. I don't sink my teeth into the sports like that very much. I don't know. I like playing sports. I'm not a big fan of watching sports. I don't know. Maybe everything besides college football and then college basketball. Yeah. Anyways, that's my take. Well, all right, we've been yapping for a fucking hour and a half. Jesus Christ, I'm going to have to maybe cut some of the boring shit out.
You mean all the times that you're talking?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Well, listen, this is fun. This is good stuff. Bob, did you have a good time? It's been a while. It's been a hot minute since I had you on.
I did have a good time, and I just want to say thanks for having me on and say hello to the 10 people that are going to be listening to this.
In Argentina.
Oh yeah, we're gonna make sure that we get some Argentinian fans now. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna expand our market.
All right. And all the people in the Philippines.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. All right. Well, very cool, guys. Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
Nice meeting you, Bob.
Yes, nice to meet you too.
We'll wrap this up. We'll be Billy up here in a second. All right. Bye, guys.
Okay. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.